Praise the Lord. We're in the book of 2 Samuel today in the Old Testament. Book of Samuel will begin around chapter 11. I say around there, but if you read the whole chapter, chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, you'll see that David spies a woman. They were having a war and he stayed home. In the first verse it says that after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. He stayed in Jerusalem. And I'll just go on a little bit here. It said, it came to pass, and in an eventide, that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And so what happens is David ends up calling the woman to him, and they have an affair, and she becomes pregnant. And David arranges for Uriah to be killed under Joab. And what they did, they had him go forth in battle. He sent a secret message to Joab to retire from him and let Uriah be killed. And it says in verse 24, and the shooter shot from off the wall upon thy servants. This is a messenger that came later to tell David how the war had been going. He says, and the shooter shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. And David did this because he wanted to marry Bathsheba. He wanted her as his wife. And so he tried to get Uriah to sleep with his wife so that they wouldn't know that the baby was his, you know, wouldn't know that it was David's child, because Uriah had not slept with his wife for a long time. And you can read that in chapter 11, like I say, that it's all written there. And so David said to the messenger, thus shalt thou say to Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. In other words, he was telling a story here, and he was actually the one who ordered Uriah to be killed. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband, which they would do. They would have a certain time of mourning. And in 27, when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And I have a little note on the Hebrew. It says displeased. It says in Hebrew, it means it was evil in the eyes of the Lord. It was evil in his eyes. And we go into chapter 12 now, is where I really want to be. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came. Now Nathan was a prophet, and the Lord sent him unto David, and he came unto him, and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. And now Nathan is supposed to tell David that God knows about what he's done, and he's not going to get away with it. And so he, I don't know if the Lord inspired him to do that, probably so, but he concocts a little story to tell David. And he said, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. In verse 2 it says, the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. He had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. In other words, it was a very dear pet to him. It was a pet lamb. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man. that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. He took the man's pet lamb. It was handy, and he took it and killed it. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die." In my little Hebrew notes on the side, it says, "Is worthy to die," or "is a son of death," is what the Hebrew says. He's worthy to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he hath done this thing and because he had no pity. And now this is where Nathan really shows his boldness, you know, because he's gone into David, and the King David would have had men around him with swords. Probably David had a sword as well. And it was not a safe place to be and to really anger the king. And Nathan, in verse 7, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man." You know, and that's the topic of our message today. Thou art the man. And what a thing Nathan did here. He was sent to David to reveal to him that God knew all about what had gone on, that nothing was hidden from the Lord's eyes. And David says about the story, it says, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, or is worthy of death." In other words, the way the Hebrew is written. And Nathan said, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife. Thou hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon, where he had gone to fight. And now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." You know, David was worried about this. He knew what happened to Saul when Saul had sinned, that an evil spirit from the Lord came and troubled him, and all the things that happened to Saul, how the Lord wouldn't speak to him, and he ends up talking to through the witch. He went and found a witch what they call a familiar spirit, and he consults with the witch of Endor to hear from Samuel. But he knew all that trouble, and then Saul was killed in the battle, you know, later on. And all this was revealed by this witch. And so David knew that he was in trouble. But Nathan tells David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this deed that thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, they can say, look, David is supposed to be the king of Israel, and look what he did. And the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." That the baby's going to die that she had. "And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him and raised him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said unto him, He is dead. And then David arose from the earth, and washed, and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord, and worshipped. And he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, Well, the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. In other words, when David passes on, he's going to go to that son, but the son can't come to him in this life. And 24 here, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and called his name Jediah, because of the Lord. And Jacob fought against Rahab, Joab rather. And Joab fought against Rahab, the children of Ammon, and took the city. They later on took the city that they were fighting against. But Bathsheba eventually bears Solomon, who you know is going to be the king after David. It says, and the Lord loved him. Praise the Lord. So that's all that I was going to read of the scripture. But here's Nathan. And I wondered, I went to a restaurant the other day, and the man that took my order, his name was Nathaniel. And I saw it on his little badge he had, his name, Nathaniel. And my name's David, and I sat down to eat after I'd ordered my food. It was a salad, I believe. And I thought of David and Nathan, you know, in the Bible. And I thought, man, that Nathan, he must have had some boldness, you know. And maybe the Lord assured him, I'm sure he did, that he would be okay, you know. But he was unafraid to go to David and to tell him, Look, God knows what you did, and you're going to have to pay for it. We keep reading in this book of 2 Samuel, you'll see that Absalom rises up, and just as the Lord said, the sword would rise up in his own family. He ends up fleeing from his own son, and Solomon just barely makes it to the throne. He's challenged on every hand, but eventually Solomon does become the next king of Israel, but through much trouble and trial. And here Nathaniel comes before the king and says, Thou art the man. And you know, and David, we can read in the Psalms where David responds to this, and he cries out to the Lord and says, Against thee only have I done this evil. You know, so many words. And he has the psalm, Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know, David was extremely sorry. He knew exactly what happened to Saul. He didn't want that. He said, Don't take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And I remembered when I got saved back in 1977, and the Lord revealed to me that I was the man, you know, who sent Jesus to the cross. Why did Jesus have to go and be crucified? And I realized I was the man. I was the man that did that. And you, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, you are the man, or you are the woman, if you're a woman. But man is a general term. It can go male or female. It's just mankind. But thou art the man, Nathan says. Thou art the man. And David says that man ought not to live. You know, he ought not to live, but Nathaniel says, Thou art the man. And I remember in my heart, When I gave my heart to the Lord, I realized that I was just as guilty as that, you know, just as guilty as David was. You know, the one thing about David is when he had his sin discovered like that, he had godly sorrow in his heart. He was truly sorry for what he had done. He did it through the flesh, just through bowing to the flesh and yielding to his own flesh. He saw this woman, she was probably naked up on the roof, and he just went gaga, as we would say, for her, and had to have her, and being the king, he had her brought over, and she obeyed, you know, because he's the king, and he had his way, as it were. But God saw all that in the dark. He saw everything that went on, and later on sent Nathan to tell David, "Thou art the man," you know. And that's what we have to do. We have to admit. We have to come to the Lord and admit our sin, you know, and realize that Thou art the man. And like I say, Jesus had to go to the cross for me because I had sinned, because I had done this evil, you know, of my life, that I had to confess. I had to confess my sins to the Lord, as David had done here. And later he says, "Against thee," talking to God, "against thee only have I sinned and done this evil, you know, and in sin did my mother conceive me, shapen in iniquity," he said. And he was truly sorry for what he had done. He had done well. I suppose there were other pitfalls and things that he fell into, but this is one of the major ones, you know, that he had done. He had committed adultery to begin with, and then he committed murder with the sword of the children of Ammon here, and had Uriah killed. And then he stole Uriah's wife that way, had him killed for his wife's sake. And all this went on, and he thought he had it hidden. But Nathan came and said, "Thou art the man." And that's what we have to realize ourselves, that Thou art the man. You're the one. You're the one that is guilty. You're the one that deserves to die. You're the one that has displeased God. You're the one that has sinned and come short of God's glory. And you admit that in yourself, like David did here. And he didn't tell the men to draw their sword and kill Nathan. Nowadays, they probably would have done that, or some other king. Saul certainly probably would have done that. Just killed the prophet, he killed the priest that had helped David. But all that went on. But David, he had godly sorrow. He realized that he was the man. He had later admitted, and Nathan was okay. He didn't get killed that day. But later on we see that he sends Nathan on an errand. Oh, he sent by, in 25 it says, he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and called his name Gedaliah because of the Lord. Now, I've got a note here. Gedaliah, that is beloved of the Lord. I guess he called Nathan Gedaliah. He sent by the hand of Nathan and called his name Gedaliah because of the Lord. It said, beloved of the Lord. It says in my little note here. I'm reading out of Zipho's Bible Guide. It's the King James Version, 1789, with Strong's numbers and morphology. It says Zipho's. So you can get it online. I love it. You can call up other versions of the Bible. I love my King James, but this is what I'm looking at now. And we have this thing, Thou art the man. Thou art the man. And really, when you call out, when you realize that you're the one, you know, like the old song, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, that's where you have to get. You have to realize that you are the guilty one. You know, when you come that, and you come to the Lord with a contrite spirit and a humble heart, you know, then He will hear. And like Nathan said, God has put your sin away. He took away your sin, and Jesus has taken away all our sins through dying on the cross. He took away our sin. And someone would ask, "Well, I didn't ask that," but He knew our need. You know, He knew. that we would need a Savior, and he sent himself. You know, the Lord came from heaven and died for us. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Praise God. We needed him, and we all have sinned and come short of God's glory, but Jesus was sent to be that propitiation, to shed his blood for the remission of sins. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So Jesus came and shed his blood, that though we are the man, yet he paid the price. Jesus paid the price for our sin. I was the man. Yes, I was me. But I gave my heart to the Lord back on April 7th, 1977. And I felt the power of God go through my back and into my heart. And I felt bands breaking in my heart. It went boom, 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 boom. Like with five different bands breaking. Maybe there were devils being cast out. I don't know what it was, but it felt like bands. It felt like shipping bands. That you make up a pallet with boxes on it. We used to get, sometimes they use steel bands, and sometimes they have fiberglass bands. They would put around those boxes and squeeze them with that little tool. Well, it's not a little tool, it's kind of a big one, but they get that tool and squeeze that band tight and put a clamp on it, and then they clip it, and they go and put several bands around these pallets. That's what I felt like I had around my heart. But the Lord came and set me free. You know, praise God, even though I was the man, even though I was the one who had sinned, and I was the one that sent Jesus to the cross, yet he forgave us. You know, the Jews, when they were calling for Jesus to be crucified, they said, "His blood be on us and upon our children." You know, but really, they said that as far as guilt. But the Bible speaks of Jesus' blood being better than the blood of Abel. You know, calleth out better things than the blood of Abel. You know, Abel's blood called out for vengeance, but Jesus' blood calls out for mercy. That even though we are the man, and we're guilty of all these things, we're guilty of sin and guilty of falling short of God's glory, yet through Christ's sake and through his shed blood, we find that we are forgiven. We find that our sins are washed away. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as snow. Oh, like the book of Isaiah says, the book of Isaiah is a wonderful book as well, talking about the salvation of God. In Isaiah 53, it said, "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows and carried our griefs." And it's such a wonderful thing that Christ could come. And even though we are guilty, or even though that we are the man, the sinner, we are the one who has done this evil, yet God gave the just for the unjust. In his mercy, he allowed his Son, who was perfect and knew no sin, to give his life for us who were sinners. You know, there's just nothing like that in all the earth. There's no other name by which we must be saved but by the name of Christ. And we have faith in him that he went to the cross for us, and that forgiveness was pronounced because of his sacrifice, that mercy was shed abroad, even the sure mercies of David, it's called in the Bible. David found mercy from the prophet Nathan. The Lord had said, "I have put away your sin and you shall not die." You know, he was worthy to die. He himself said this man shouldn't live. But mercy was pronounced because of the Lord, his graciousness, his mercy. It cost David the child. And I noted that the child got to be 7 days old, and on the eighth day he would have been circumcised, but he didn't live long enough for that. You know, he didn't even get to be circumcised on the eighth day, but the child died, and David says he rose up and washed himself and went and ate, because that's all he could do. He couldn't bring the child back, but one day he went to him. When he died, when David died, he went to the child, you know, that he had lost, and finally met with him. Praise the Lord. And if you realize in your heart, if you can come to that realization that you are the man, you are the person that has sinned, that if you see yourself a sinner, I urge you to go to the Lord, come to Him, and ask for salvation, ask for mercy, and God will surely do it. You can confess your sins to Him, pray earnestly, realize that your sin has offended God, and that we have all come short of His glory, for He is holy. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You know, and we can't do that in the flesh, but through the Spirit we can and do serve God. And He can bring salvation into your heart. He can bring it in an instant's time. I might have prayed for several hours when I got saved. I confessed all the sins that the Lord was telling me about. He revealed to me everything He wanted me to confess, and I said, "That's me. I've done that. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty." But then he said, "Do you want me to come into your life? Do you want me to come into your heart?" And I said, "Yes, yes, yes." And that's why I was laying on my stomach, and I felt the power of God go through my back, and those bands were breaking in my heart, and I truly was saved. I became as a little child. Behold, all things are new. Everything old passed away. That old life, the old sinner life, passed away. All my yesterdays were buried in the deepest of the sea. That old load of debt I carried. Praise God. I became free. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. And I invite you to give your heart to the Lord, and you will feel that freedom too if you pray in earnest and ask the Lord just for salvation. I guarantee He will hear your prayer, and you'll be saved, and you'll be rejoicing as I rejoice. Amen. And it's so great that even though we are the man, even though we are the sinner, we're the one that needs to be saved. There is a Savior for us. There is one who gave His life for us that we might be saved. Amen. Glory to God.